this evening to Romans chapter 13, all right? Romans chapter 13. If you have your Bible there, open it up, and we'll start there. Then we'll be moving around several places in the Bible. So I might just leave you a marker in Romans. We're not coming back to Romans, but we're coming back close, all right? So you might want to do that tonight, if you would. And I'd appreciate your prayer for the service on Friday. I was thinking this week as I was trying to get what maybe the Lord would have me to use for the funeral service, and I got to thinking about it. You know, when I surrendered to preach, I never thought about the fact that I'd be preaching my mom and dad's funeral, my father-in-law's funeral, my mother-in-law's funeral. Had no idea you'd be doing that. And sometimes when you do it, and doing that, you think, okay, how do I handle this? And so would you pray that God will just give me liberty? I believe I know what he wants me to do and how he wants me to do it, but pray if you would about that. You don't consider those things sometimes, you know. And that never crossed my mind at the time. So, God's good. He always enables you to do what you need to do, and I'm sure glad of that. Sure glad to do that. All right, you're there in Romans chapter 13. Look, if you will, verse 1. The Bible says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." I want to look at tonight the subject of authority. Be wise about authority. This matter of authority, and I'll tell you straight up front, we're not going to cover it all in one message because you don't want to be here till 10 o'clock. And it'll take a long time to do it. We're not going to try to cover it all. But man, to say that there is a problem with the deal of authority and over and across all levels of society, that's an understatement. We've just got a huge problem. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he was here on earth, that's recorded for us in Matthew 28 and verse 18, said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power is given to him, every bit of it. And you said, what does all mean? Well, it means all. It means all. And you say, why you say that? Because don't want you to let anybody try to run some semantics or spin on you and try to stifle the truth of the fact that all power belongs to him. They go to other alls in the Bible and they say they don't really mean all, okay? Well, that all means all. You can count on it. All power is his. And when we talk about authority, the word authority means the right to command or the power to enforce or give rules and demand obedience from others. That's what authority boils down to. Now, we human beings have a tendency to rebel against authority. There is in us, and it's sin, all right? It's nothing to strut and be proud of. It's sin that causes us to bow up and rebel against this thing called authority, all right? But it's important because when we're talking about authority, we're talking about power, we're talking about leadership, we're talking about control. We're talking about ruling. It's all those things. And I've just used a lot of words that a lot of people go, I don't even like where this is going already. Because we have a problem with authority, all right? And let me just, tonight, really, I want to talk to you about really four areas where we are to yield to God's appointed authority. We're to yield to it. And we'll just start the one that starts everybody excited. It's authority in the family. In the family. God instituted the family. He started the family before he started anything else. All right? He started the family before he started anything else. And in that family, he instituted authority in the family. You know, and sometimes I feel like people are already wiggling. Now, not necessarily outwardly, but inwardly. People already say, no, wait a minute, you know. Take your Bible, if you will. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, all right? Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, I want you to look, if you will, at verse 1. And while you're hunting for that, use your other hand to hunt for Proverbs, okay? Surely you can go two directions at once, right? We're going to go to Proverbs chapter 23, And we're going to start in Ephesians 6, okay? So we'll give you time. All right, should be there. No, I was kidding. Ephesians chapter 6 and Proverbs chapter 23, if you would, in your Bible. Just listen to what the Word of God says. And by the way, before we get too in-depth in here, don't already start saying, I'm not going to believe what you say. See, that's where we get in trouble. We get in trouble when the Word of God is preached or it's taught, and the first thing we do is, and we're already deciding what we're going to do with it. Let's listen to what the Bible says. Ephesians 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Say, what's the promise? That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Hey, the Bible says in this matter of authority that children are to obey, and they are to yield to their parents. God set up the home and devised it so that the children were not put there to be in charge and to run the home. Folks, I don't know if you figured this out or not, but kids just don't have a lot of knowledge when they're young. Some of them don't get much as they get older either, all right? But, hey, the truth is they just don't have it. You know, I've heard them saying honest, and maybe you've heard this too, maybe you haven't. When I first heard it, I had to back up and listen again. There's folks out there in the world today said you ought to ask your child before you change their diaper if it's okay if you do that. Now, the person that says you ought to do that needs mental help. They need to be committed. They need mental help. You know, those of you who have raised children, I remember, I still see it today in my grandkids. You know, those that are little, still in the diaper, they go to change the diaper, and what does a child do? Oh, thanks, Mom. Appreciate it so much. No, they protest. They cry. They cry. They don't want it done, but it needs done. Needs doing. What a goofy idea. What a absolutely goofy idea. But that's where we've gone when we get so far away from the Word of God. We get in deeper than you could ever imagine. But the Bible says children are to obey their parents. They're to honor their father and mother. Look over, if you will, in Proverbs chapter 23. Chapter 23, if you will, just carrying this same thought, okay? Verse 22, the Bible says, hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Hey, we're to have that same respect. I've told kids at school, you know, I get to talking to them sometimes about getting a spanking, and, you know, some of them are up, they're real old, they're maybe 12, and my mom and dad, they don't spank me anymore. I tell them about my uncle. My uncle whooped his son when he was in college. So I'm going to tell you something. My dad was 83 when he died. A month before he died, he was still able to, and I don't mean this, please don't take us wrong, but he was still able to stand up. He could have swung a belt. And I've told people, I said, if my dad said, son, I'm going to whoop you, I'd have stood there and let him do it. I'd have stood there and let him do it. Why? Because I believe I'm to honor my father, okay? I believe I'm to do that. We've gotten away from that kind of teaching today, all right? We've gotten away from the idea that parents are to be the authority in the home, and children are to obey, they're to yield, they're to be taught to do that. Now, more and more, one thing I've learned in 47 years of being in a Christian school is parents no longer raise their children. Parents don't raise their children anymore. They allow them to grow up in the home, but the kids are running the show. And it's a big shock to their system. God, boy, you know, I got to be careful what I say. I'm not going to get that far. I've got one in school. There's one in school that'll often say, why? And finally I said, because I said so. Amen. And don't ask anymore. Don't ask anymore. Now, I don't know what he's used to at home. I know at home we didn't ask why. Maybe a couple of times, but that cured us, all right? And we quit doing that. We quit doing it. Now, you say you had an abusive dad. You've got to be kidding. No, I had one that believed the Bible. Had a mom believe the Bible, and they did what God said, and they understood that children are to obey parents. They're to be taught to do that. They're to yield to their parents, all right? That's the way it's supposed to be. God designed it that way. Now go back to Ephesians. I should have told you to keep your spot there. Ephesians, but this time chapter 5. Now, if you're familiar with your Bible, you know what's coming, okay? Ephesians chapter 5. And you think there's a problem with what we've just talked about in the world today, there's a lot bigger problem than what we're fixing to talk about. Man, massive trouble in this whole world because of this, all right? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Now, folks, this is in the Bible, and I didn't write it, okay? I didn't write it. The Bible says in Ephesians 5, 23, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Notice, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be their own husbands in everything. Now, when we say that, immediately there is an upheaval. There is a hackles going up. There is problems, and I'm never going to do that. You're going to miss a blessed time that you can't get back, all right? Hey, it's not popular today to say it. We live in a day, I've had people that I was talking to about performing their wedding, and I was talking to them about this subject, and they said, well, we're going to split it 50-50. Okay, see how that works. Just see how it works. Hey, I'd like to go to Jack in the Box and get some tacos. My wife would rebel. I ain't eating them Jack in the Box tacos. I like them. Okay? I like them. Brother Blanton, don't wave your hand. Say amen. Help me out, all right? He's back there waving his hand, thumbs up. No, I need the amen in there. I like Jack in the Box tacos. My wife, she can't stand them. But we're splitting it 50-50. She'll say, well, let's go Taco Bueno. No, she'd say, let's go Taco Casa and get a taco. So we're going to split that 50-50. Okay, you take your car, I'll take mine. See you, all right? We're not eating together tonight. Hey, I just want to tell you, you say, well, it doesn't matter about tacos. You're right, doesn't. It doesn't matter about tacos. But, man, you get the things in life that do matter, and you got difference of opinion, and you got it in the home. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Hey, you've got difference of opinion in raising your child. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Now, you want to cause a real problem with your children. You let one parent disagree with the other parent, and the child knows that you got problems big time. Those kids will play you like nobody's business. All right? You just can't do it that way. You can't split it down the middle. The Bible set it up this way. God said it. He said it right here. The husband is the head of the wife. Husband is that. God put the husband in the home, be the head of the home. Now, not the dictator, not the one that pulls out the whip. Do what I say. He's to lead. That's not leading. That's not leading. But the wife, the Bible says, is submit to the leadership of her husband. Said, I couldn't do it. Well, maybe you married the wrong person. You ought to marry the right person. You ought to marry somebody you can submit to. Well, he's not very smart. Don't marry a dummy. Got to live with him, okay? Got to live with him. Don't do that, okay? Don't do that. Hey, I'll be honest. Hey, man, I'm talking to a bunch of you fellows. It's too late. Y'all already done it, all right? So, but there's a few of you in here that haven't, okay? Don't marry him. Don't marry a woman that will not be submissive to you. Now, boy, when we say that, I know people got the idea, well, you want them down kissing your foot. No, I don't. But I don't want to fight every time something is brought up. Shouldn't be there. There needs to be that, all right? Now, listen, there's got to be authority in the home. If there's not, there'll be chaos. There'll be chaos. God designed it. God set it up. He said there's four areas. First area is in the home. There needs to be an authority in the home. We need to know who that authority is, all right? needs to be an authority. No authority, chaos. I'll tell you what, that's what a lot of homes are. A lot of homes in our day are chaos. I mean, it's upside down, sideways, and bouncing off the wall and all that other stuff. It doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. But man, it is in so many places. So there's an authority in the home. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Maybe I should say one of the next things the Lord instituted after the home was government. Government. And he said there's to be an authority in government. There's to be an authority of the state, okay? So look, if you will, 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at verse 13. The Bible says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so, look at that, is the will of God. So is the will of God. Are you with me there? Government was instituted by God. God set up government. Authority, God gave authority to governments to govern, all right? And the Lord sees governmental authorities as his ministers, all right? As his ministers, his servants. That's the way he sees them. Now, you and I may wonder sometimes about decisions that they make, but we're to be submissive to government. And I just go on record of telling you, I do not like the seatbelt law. I do not like that seatbelt law, and I resent them telling me it doesn't make me one bit a better driver. If I'm driving so fast around a corner that I would slide off the seat, I'm driving too fast, all right? So don't say, well, it'll hold you there. I'm not racing. Not racing, just driving. I don't like that law, but I have to obey it. I have to obey it. I don't care for it. But I'm not given the option. The Lord doesn't say to us, obey the laws you like. Do what the ones you like, obey them, the rest of them you ignore them. No, we can't do that, all right? A lot of times I don't like stop signs. I can remember, and I still do it some here, but I remember especially when we lived for years over in Diamond Hill, I knew every turn that you could take down the side streets, and I knew where the stop signs were, and I knew how to go. And I say, I'll turn here because there's a stop sign up there, but around here there's no stop sign. And I knew how to wind and wander through those streets and to get where I wanted to be with avoiding a lot of stop signs. I don't like them. But I'll be honest with you, I sure want people to stop at them. And I'm going to stop at one when I come to it. Hopefully, if I see it, I'm going to. All right? It's necessary for you and I to obey the laws, all right? It's necessary. God's put that on us. Remember what we read there in our text verse in Romans chapter 13. All right, remember what the Bible said. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there's no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Okay? So you need to be careful about that. You need to be careful about that. God instituted, God gave authority to government to govern. Can I say this to you? Without authority in the state, there will be chaos. There will be chaos. There's enough chaos already. And we've got some authority. And can you imagine no authority? Judges, the last chapter of the book of Judges, maybe the last verse in there said, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Boy, if we live that way today, there'd be chaos. I mean, survival of the fittest. No, probably not the fittest, just the most accurate shooting or the meanest, you know, whatever. But I'm glad we've got authority. God put that authority there. It's for our good, okay? So there's to be an authority in the home. There's authority in the state. But there's also authority in the local church. I want you to look with me. 1 Thessalonians, all right? 1 Thessalonians and Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and Hebrews, okay? Hebrews chapter 13, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to read the scriptures in both places, so you'll get find those two places in the Word of God. We'll take a look at them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and Hebrews. Hebrews is right before James, all right? And it's right after something else. Right after Philemon, I think, right? Hey, it's in the Bible. Look it up, all right? 1 Thessalonians, that's right in front of 2 Thessalonians. I know that, okay? All right, so there, 1 Thessalonians 5, look at verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now back in Hebrews chapter 13, look if you will, verse 17, all right? Hebrews 13, look there in verse 17. The Bible says here, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. And they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. More and more in our day, we see less and less of pastoral authority. I'm convinced God put in the church and he instituted and he put the pastor there to be the leader and to have authority in the church. Now, that authority is spiritual authority. It is not the authority to tell you what you cannot do in any and every decision in your life. I'm not the one that's going to say, don't you dare buy a Chevy. I don't have that kind of authority. All right? I don't have that. I'm not going to tell you, hey, don't you buy one of them foreign things. Hey, I don't have that kind of authority, but spiritual authority. Spiritual authority, okay? But more and more we see less and less of that. There are churches today that are run by boards. Man, what a mess. What a mess. It's not scriptural, all right? Now, the sad thing is what we hear about those few, and this is the ones we hear about, is those few pastors who abuse the authority they have and they reach for more power than God gave to them. I'm not backing that, okay? I'm not saying that's right and it's proper. It's not right. But in the church, God gave the position of leadership to the pastor. He's to lead, all right? He's to lead. He's to pray and seek God's wisdom. And I just want to tell you, as personally, nothing gives me more cause for concern and carefulness than the realization of the responsibility that lies upon me as your pastor. Boy, I mean, I take it serious. I realize one day I will stand before God. I will stand before God, first of all, to give an account for me. Just me individually. But as a husband, I will stand before God to give an account to God for my home. For my home. I'm going to give an account for the way I treated my wife, the way I led my wife, the way I raised my kids. I'll answer to God for it. I'll answer to God. At the same time, another thing, I'm going to stand and give an account for what I did in the leadership of First Baptist Church, Haltom City. And boy, it gives me pause to know I'm going to give an account. My soul, do I ever want to be able to do that with joy? Do I want to be able to stand there and say, yes, and I was able to do this? That's why I constantly pray for wisdom. God, help me. Just give me wisdom. Help me to know what to do, what decision to make. You say, well, you've made a few wrong ones. That's because I'm human. That's because I'm human. And I don't always do what I ought to do. But man, you say, well, I'll hold you accountable. I'm not worried about you, but sure I'm worried about God. Sure, I'm worried about him, all right? Can I say this to you? That also means the membership has a responsibility to follow, to uphold, and to pray for the pastor. Boy, I need that so much. I need that prayer. I need to know, hey, preacher, I'm with you. I remember used to, and I'm going to say this, Brother Autry's in heaven. I remember we had sat in men's meetings, and Brother Autry would oftentimes question. And if you did not know Brother Autry, you might not realize it, but he would ask a good number of questions, and he may or may not say it in there. It may be afterwards. He'd say, well, preacher, it looks like you did your homework. You know, you had the answer to the questions. I'm going to try to do that. Hey, I'm careful, all right? Careful. There's pastoral authority, authority in the local church, all right? There has to be a head. Now, I'm not the head of the church, but I'm the under-shepherd under the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where I stand, okay? That's where I stand. Can I say this to you? Without pastoral leadership, there's chaos in the church. There's chaos in the church. I could name churches that used to be outstanding, strong, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching Baptist churches in this area, but the pastor left, and they were not, I almost want to say, careful enough and also not quick enough. Now, I don't mean it ought to be boom, 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 but they didn't get about the job of calling a pastor. And because of that, they wound up led by a group of people in the church. The church no longer exists today. But man, it was a great, strong church. What happened? No leadership, chaos. Chaos. God instituted authority, all right? There's one other area. Take your Bible, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. There's one other area that God instituted and an authority, and he set it up this way. Look, if you will, in chapter 3, verse 22. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. The Lord Christ. I believe in today's world, the practical application for you and I is this right here. This involves our relationship, your relationship with your employer. Involves your relationship with your employer. The Bible says servants is to obey in all things according to the flesh. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Hey, we're to do that. The Bible example, the Bible expectation is for the child of God to work hard and cheerfully at everything he does. Everything he does. You're to work hard. You're to give yourself. Notice what it says in verse 23. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. You're on the job, get after it. Get with it. Well, I can't do what they ask. Get another job. And I'm not being cruel, not being mean, but just look, find that job that you can do and get after it. Get it done, all right? You say, well, hey, he's a hard guy or she's a hard woman to work for. They're difficult to work with and everything. Hey, you still need to get the job done. Still need to get the job done. You ought to try to please the boss, okay? That's the one you work for. You ought to try to please them. As a Christian, I'm trying to please my boss, the Lord. I'm trying to do what pleases him. When I worked a job in the secular world, I worked a couple of different places, and the longest time was at W.W. Granger. And I tried to do what they told me to do. I mean, if they said do it, I said, okay, whatever. And I'd get out there, unload the truck, let's unload the truck. Well, it's hot, fellas, in that truck. Well, okay, but you signed on for the job, all right? Do the job. Just get out there and do the best you can. And give it your best. Do the best work you can. Go at it cheerfully. Decide I'm going to work hard. I'm going to work faithfully. You can count on it. I'll do it. The truth of the matter is, whatsoever you do. Now, I think of a verse over in Ecclesiastes where the Bible says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. I don't understand people that look at things. Now, we're not talking about unions. That's a whole other subject, all right? But I don't understand people that get in a situation and look and say, Oh, that's not my job. Well, just do it. If it's there and you can do it, do it. What does it hurt? I remember W.W. Granger, one summer we were trying to stay employed, okay? And it was a little bit slow, trucks coming in, orders to pull and all that kind of thing. It was slow down, and me and another fellow that worked there, he said, look, we'll there's light bulbs that need changing. And I said, okay, should have checked out what I was saying okay to, all right? And man, he put me, he had the right and to drive the forklift. I was the peon of all peons on the job, so I couldn't drive the forklift, but I could sit on the, he'd go pick up this big range, and I'd sit on top of the box, and he'd run that fork all the way to the top. And I'm sitting there with that glass tube in my hand up there, and he's playing with the controls. He'd bump it, and I'm going, boom, 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 knock it off down there, you know. He said, well, what'd you do? I said, you get me down here, I'm quitting. That's part of the job. You did it. You did it. After I hit him with two of those things, he quit. No, I didn't do that, all right. But, hey, it was just part of it. You did it, okay? I mean, here I am. It was summertime. It was hot. At one time, the boss said, all right, take these back. Take all these boxes back there and burn them in the incinerator. Okay. Let me tell you something. It was hot. Wait till you cranked open that thing, got all them boxes burning. You having to open up, throw another, that heat hit you coming out of there. Man, if I'd have just peeled off my shirt, I'd had a wonderful tan just from that heat, you know. It was just, it was hot, man. So what'd you do? I had a good time burning boxes. That's what I did. Hey, I'm saying to you, that's the job requirement. The matter of authority. You know, I've talked to some people before that, and I've listened to them, and they were telling me, said, well, I was trying to tell the boss. I'm going, man, you need to listen to the boss. You're not the boss. Listen to the boss, okay? But I'll say this to you. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, okay? You say, well, how important is it? Well, here's how important it is. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Say, how important can it be? Here's how important it can be. 1 Timothy 6, verse 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor. Why? That the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. Be not blasphemed. Hey, that's why we're to work. We work hard, we work faithfully so that the name of God and what he teaches will not be blasphemed. See, the truth of the matter is we have a testimony. We ought to work to provide a good testimony to your Savior. To your Savior. Why you work like this? Because I'm a Christian. Why you work? I'm a Christian. That's why I work like that. Well, hey, you're making everybody else look bad. Well, they just need to get with it, all right? Oh, a good testimony. We need to be careful about it. I just want to tell you something. If there's no authority at work, guess what there is? Chaos. Chaos. What's the old saying? When the boss is away, or when the cat's away, they usually say it, but they mean the boss, the mice will play. If you're a Christian, you're not to be playing. You're to be working. Why? Good testimony. Good testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Authority. I want you to go with me in closing. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4, okay? Hebrews chapter 4. Get Hebrews chapter 4 in one hand, 2 Timothy chapter 3 in the other hand, okay? Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 in one hand, and 2 Timothy chapter 3 in the other hand. When we're talking about authority, here's our authority, all right? Here's our authority. Hebrews chapter 4, look at verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing sunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Notice that. The Bible says, for the word of God is quick and powerful. Remember, that's authority. Authority means power. Authority means power. Our authority is this book. Is this book. Look there in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you will, verse 16. Very, very well-known verse of Scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be, what's that next word? Perfect. Perfect. And I say this, you can't have a perfect man without a perfect book. Amen. Cannot have a perfect man without a perfect book. Now, you're still there. In my Bible, it's right there on the same page, chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. Chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, look at verse 2. First three words. Preach the word. Preach the word. Hey, our authority is this book. This book. I was listening to a fellow this afternoon preach while I was doing a few things and taking a few notes, and I was listening over the internet to a sermon, and he said, you know, he said, this morning we got up, my wife and I, and we watched Joel Osteen in Houston. Now, Joel Osteen usually takes up, I've seen him do this, stands there and he holds up his Bible and he has everybody a chance with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. And he goes on with it. And then, like this preacher said, then he laid it down and never referred to it again. And I've seen that happen over and over again. Hey, when you come here, you ought to expect somebody to say, open the Bible. Open your Bible, all right? Why? Because what we're going to do is preach it. It's powerful. It's perfect. It's to be preached, and it's to be practiced. That's what it is. Why? It's our authority. What we believe and what we do is because of what the Bible says. Because of what the Bible says. When I was raising my kids, I was not heartless. And my grandkids, I'm not heartless. I don't like to see them cry. I don't like to see them cry. I don't know how many times, I'm serious, I don't know how many times my son or my daughter or daughter-in-law, son-in-law, whatever, was going to take and give their child a spanking, and the child was crying, and it was in me, and it entered my mind to say, oh, don't do that. But I zipped my lips. Because the Bible commands us what to do. The Bible tells us how to deal with things, all right? We practice it. Why? This is our authority. This is what we preach. This is what we preach. We preach the Word of God. I want you to open your Bible. I don't want you to come and just listen to me to give you some little soliloquy that you can go home with and say, man, didn't that make me feel good? Well, sometimes we don't need to feel good. We do not need to feel good. If we're doing wrong, we shouldn't go home feeling good. We're not doing right. We ought to hear somebody tell us, and you say, well, I don't like it, and have to like it. But you need to take it, and you need to listen to it. Folks, authority doesn't rest with man. Authority comes from God. All authority comes from God. The reason the police officer has the right to pull you over is God's given authority. God-given authority. All right? That's it right there. It's God-given authority. God's given that authority. You and I need to learn to submit to the authority that's over us. We need to submit to it. Life works better. Things go better. It's more joyful. It's happier. And it's healthier. And it's a lot more productive when we get in on the authority of God. The sad thing is today so many people shake their fist in God's face and say, I'm not going to do what you say. And they will not do what God says when it comes to salvation. Their idea is, well, I'll make it my way. Well, you can't get there your way. Now, that's not my talk. That's what God says. Bible says there's none other name given among heaven whereby we must be saved than Jesus Christ. You can't go any other way. Well, you think you're right and everybody else is wrong. No, I think the Bible's right. And I think anybody disagrees with it's wrong. So you just figure out where you are, all right? I believe the Bible. I believe it's right. And yes, I believe I'm right. I wouldn't stand up here saying, hey, folks, I want to share something with you that could help you. And it might even be true. You wouldn't come. We're here because we believe this book. Let's keep believing that book. Let's keep believing it. And not just believe it, practice it. Practice it. Now, I could have preached another hour tonight, but I'm not. I'm done, okay? Hey, we've got enough to digest if you go home and dwell on it. Got enough. Our Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, you'd help us tonight. Help us see the truth of the Scripture.